Shus Marina Rav Shlita, L'chaim Aruchim Mr. Brown, on occasion of the Yahrzeit. I was talking to my son Uriel about the fact that I'm talking about tefillin on Chanukah. Today is Zos Chanukah, the climax of Chanukah. I said to him, I need to find a connection between tefillin and Chanukah, and I was racking my brains a little bit, and he said to me, Daddy, it's obvious. Pardon?
Four times two.
No, he didn't get into the maths. No, he said, Daddy, look at the end of Parshas Bo in the Ramban, because there we talk about the mitzvah of tefillin, and it ties itself up with the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that the idea of wearing the tefillin is that we are representing and reminding ourselves the nisim which happened, the nisim geluim which happened with Tzias Mitzrayim. But the Ramban says it's not simply a Tzias Mitzrayim. It's where Hashem went against Minhago Shel Olam, the way of the world. Ki hamofes hanifla mer sheyesh l'olam al Elecho mechadsha v'yadeh u'mashkiach. Hashem Kodesh Baruch Hu is the mashkiach of the world with his osos and his mofsim, and we are aidim ne'monim b'munas ha'borei, and we are therefore witnesses who are accepting him with emuna in the way he created the world and in the Torah. V'akol yos lonu b'chol hadaros, and this is something which happened in every single generation, aidus b'mofsim, as we say in the davening, v'al nisecho shebechol yom imonu, that every single day Hashem is doing fast miracles. And Chanukah is a special inyan that it's by Yomim Mahim Bazman Hazeh, more in our age, so to speak, relatively, and that these miracles happen in every generation, and that the tefillin we wear are a testimony to the nisim which Hashem does for us all the time as the Mashgiach of the world. And therefore, when we're wearing our tefillin, we're constantly remembering not just Yetzias Mitzrayim, not just Neis Chanukah, but all the other nisim as well, which he is doing for us. So now coming back to tefillin itself, maybe I'll start with a few practical points. I'd like to try and cover today the idea of wearing tefillin all day long, or whether one should. I'd like to cover the subject of women wearing tefillin, maybe a bit controversial. And the other things we might leave to part four. But on some practical issues, perhaps one of those practical things is when you wear your tefillin, you've got to wear them properly. And you'll invariably come into a shul and there'll always be somebody who seems to be wearing his shel rosh too far forward or too much to the side. They have to be between the eyes but above the hairline. And if you're bald, then it's got to be above the area where your hair used to grow. It's a very common mistake. We might talk later about the so-called women of the wall, and if you look at their pictures, every single one of them are wearing the tefillin wrongly anyway. So if they think they're getting a mitzvah out of it because of the way they wear it, they don't. So very important. My father had this tendency to remind people politely if their tefillin were not being worn properly, and he realized that people sometimes take offense, and he realized that if you actually put your hand on somebody's tefillin, then people feel as though you're invading their space. So the best thing to do, it's a good idea when you want to remark to somebody about their tefillin, you just signal with your hand that the tefillin is not in the middle or that it's too low down, but people find a resentment if you actually touch it. So that was an idea. Now, another practical idea when you're wearing your tefillin is that there's one part of the ritzuas which have a big strain on them, and that's the bit where you tighten the shel yad on your arm. You pull it tight in order that the shel yad is secure on your biceps, and then you start turning around seven times. And it's that part of the tefillin which can become worn out pretty easily. And it's very important that your ritzuas, the straps, have a minimum width of at least 9 millimeters, better 10 millimeters, and sometimes you'll find that that area of the ritzua becomes very thin indeed and requires a renewal. Important that the ritzuas, the straps, are black. I say this because people think that it's more important for the bottom to be black, but in fact halakhically it's more important for the straps to be black than the actual bottom, the square boxes. Also your ritzuas should face outwards. The black nowadays, they're doing black on both sides. That never used to be the case, but the main black side has to be facing outwards. And be careful that the knots don't become loose, and often when you are wearing your tefillin too much forward, it's because your knots might be loose and that they might need adjustment. A common problem, which we might discuss more in detail later, is that if a person is having a tummy upset, diarrhea, he's not allowed to wear tefillin at all. Even if a person passes wind, one is not allowed to wear tefillin at all. Better not to wear tefillin, because it's regarded such an insult to the kedusha of the tefillin. When you're wearing tefillin, you're like a walking Sefer Torah. And therefore, if there's some who say that after you've had diarrhea, you should even wait 3 days, there is an opinion, to be 100% sure that you're not going to do anything which is a sacrilege against tefillin. Another subject of tefillin which we haven't discussed yet is the subject of chatzitza, that there mustn't be any intervening substance between the tefillin and your skin, if at all possible. Sometimes it's not possible. If you're wearing a bandage, if you're wearing a cast, well, you can't do anything about it if there's no alternative. And some, according to the Rashba, he says chatzitza is only a problem with the shal yad, not so much with shal rosh, because you've got your hair in any case, and your hair is part of your body, so you can't call your hair a chatzitza. But there is the shaila which comes up in halacha about long hair, transplanted hair. Gris Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein says transplanted hair is not called a chatzitza at all, because it's considered as part of your body. Chelek dalad, simon mem. But what about long hair? Now, a number of authorities say it's no problem. Eishel Avrom says it's okay. It's a good idea not to fold back your hair. That if you put, some people put on their tefillin shel rosh from the forwards towards backwards, so as a result they're folding their hair backwards. Best to put the tefillin on from behind, so that you let the tefillin, you let the hair hang as it grows. But the truth is that although it is frowned upon for people to have long hair, the Machatzis HaShekel says it's also to have long hair, and various poskim write about how hair is also a symbol of gaiva, of big-headedness, and it's not befitting for a ben Torah to have long hair. But nevertheless, you might say to me, well, what about someone who's a nazir, who's not allowed to cut his hair? Nazir is 30 days, but Shimshon was a nazir for his whole life. And what about somebody who's an ovel, who's not allowed to cut his hair for 30 days, at least, until he's rebuked? So there, it's perfectly okay. The Shutzi Chavedas, Rabbi Avadi Yosef, writes about in Chelek Beis Simon Beis, that we regard it as part of your body, and therefore it's okay. But the Mishnah Berurah in Yud Aleph Kaf Zayin is machmir, and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is machmir against having long hair. Strangely, there was once an occasion when the former Satmar Rebbe visited Yeshiva Torah V'Das, which is more of a modern kind of yeshiva, or shall we say Litvish kind of yeshiva, and he made some remark to some Bochrim who had longish hair, and he said, you know, you're a wonderful Bnei Torah on the inside, but not on the outside because of your long hair. So the Bochrim said to him, but Rebbe, our Rosh Yeshiva doesn't shave his hair. He's got hair which, you know, alright, not like a hippie, but it's hair of a reasonable distance. So he made some strange remark. He said, oh, well, they're mistaken as well. Right, well, that was the Satmar Rebbe for you. The Chabina Rav told people they should take off their watch. Not put the tefillin over your watch. I always lay on my watch on my right hand, and that way I never have a problem with tefillin and I never forget about it. But Rabbi Avadia Yosef wasn't too worried about the watch. He felt that the din of chatzitza is really only as far as the shel yad and the shel rosh bottom are concerned, that there shouldn't be some intervening substance. So that's the subject of chatzitza in a nutshell. If we move on and come to this question about those who want to wear tefillin all day long, is it a wonderful thing to do? Is it a mitzvah to do? Or is it something you should not do? We spoke briefly about people who suffer diarrhea, and people must not even pass wind, any flatulence, and sometimes one is not conscious enough of the fact that it might happen, and therefore it's also to wear tefillin. The other issue about tefillin is that you may not have any secular thoughts, any immoral thoughts, any sexy thoughts. When one wearing tefillin, you're better off not wearing tefillin at all if you are unable to prevent such thoughts from occurring. So in that context, we ask the question, and you do see sometimes pictures of Gedolei Yisrael. I remember Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, you see pictures of him, he attended things and gave presentations, and he was wearing his tefillin throughout the day. So is that the way one should follow? Is that the way we should not follow? What about, you know, if you're having a light snack? What about if you're waiting at the bus stop? What about when you're sitting in the office? Should you be wearing your tefillin or not? So the Gemara in Sukkah Chaf Ches says, Omrolov Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So it's said about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Miyomov lo sach sichas chulin. He never ever indulged in idle chatter. V'lo holach dalet amos below Torah. He didn't walk for amos without thinking or talking Torah. Uvelo tefillin. So he didn't even walk four amos without tefillin. V'chein Rabbi Eliezer Talmidei, and also his Talmid Rabbi Eliezer, followed the same derech. And a similar gemara in Gatanis, Dof Chof, and Megillah Chof Ches, Omer Rabbi Zeiro, Miyamai Lo Halachti Dalad Amos below tefillin. And there's a similar gemara in Shabbos Sukkot Yud Ches about Rav Sheshet. So we find that various Gedolei Yisrael would wear tefillin the whole day long. And when you see these portraits of the Gedolim, which get hung up in the sukkah, there's a picture of the Vilna Gaon who's wearing his tefillin, although we don't know what time of the day it was. So, what do we do? The Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, in Perek Hei Halacha Yud Aleph, says that a chacham is always busy with Torah, u'muchta b'tefillin, and he is crowned by wearing his tefillin. And the Rambam also in Hilchas Tefillin, Perek Dada, Halacha Kafei, says, Kudushos on Gedolot. The tefillin have a very great holiness. Shekol Zaman Tefillin Barosh Shoval Zoro, because all the time that tefillin are on your head and on your arm, a person then is more indulged and tempted to behave as an honor, an humble person, the Yerei Shemaim, a fear of heaven, that he won't think of doing any sin, the Eino Nimshach B'Schok, he won't start indulging in laughter, Kalas Rosh, lightheadedness, the Sicha B'Teilo, and idle chatter, the Eino Mahare Machshavas Rosh, and he won't then come to think any wrong things. So we would like to believe in an idealistic world. A person will not be distracted, and he will not think anything he shouldn't think. No secular thoughts, no immoral thoughts. And therefore, it's a wonderful thing if he's wearing tefillin all day long. However, in the real world, coming down to us mere mortals, can we really behave in such a way that we're never going to have any secular improper thoughts? I've had people coming up to me when I'm wearing my tefillin and they're wearing their tefillin asking me questions which, you know, like professional questions about they want to build a house extension. Yeah, is it right that you talk about such things when you're wearing your tefillin? It's completely wrong. And we have to divert our minds and make people realize. And sometimes there's one shul I know in particular where people are standing outside wearing their tefillin, making phone calls on their mobile phones, and I don't know what they're discussing, all kinds of things. But is this the right way to behave? The Prima Godim in Esha Avram writes, he says, I don't believe that it's min haTorah to wear tefillin all day long. Certainly it may be a very nice thing to do, but the truth is that when you put on your tefillin, that split second you put on your tefillin, you've done your mitzvah. You've done your mitzvah min haTorah. Aye, what about carrying on wearing it? Okay, mitzvah min haMuvchar. It might be beautifying the mitzvah. Just like we say with Ner Chanukah, there's a mitzvah min haMuvchar that you have olive oil instead of candles. We got mahadrin. So it's like a mahadrin. You're improving on it. Okay, it's a mitzvah min haMuvchar lios olav kolayom, that you're wearing it the whole day long. But really, it's not a mitzvah min haTorah. Nowadays, he says, people don't manage to maintain a guf noki, cleanliness in their body and bad thoughts. And therefore, you take them off after davening. You don't keep them on. And the Yerushalmi in Brochus brings out this idea. You know, if we need guf noki, perek beis halacha gimel, if we need guf noki, why is it that there are people who wear all day long? He says, it says there, even those who know how to control themselves, who know not to flatulate, but they don't wear the whole day long. And there the Yerushalmi talks about another reason. The Yerushalmi says, mipnei haramoim. Ramoim are like the cheats. What does that mean? There are some people who want to pretend that they're very holy, who want to make out and show the world, because tefillin is a very chitzonious sticker thing. It's an external thing. It's not necessarily reflecting your thoughts and your deeds. in the way that you wear them. You might be sort of saying to everybody, hey, see everybody, I'm a real frumer. So the worry of the Yerushalmi is that people are wearing their tefillin more than really necessary, might simply be show-offs. And indeed, there is the Pesik Rabbah in Perek Chaf Beis Osei, which gives a story about one visitor who entered a shul on a Friday afternoon before Shabbos came in, and he had a large sum of money on him which he wanted to deposit with somebody reliable for Shabbos, and he saw a guy sitting there wearing tefillin. So he thought, oh, Choshev Yid, wonderful fellow. I might not know him and I might not trust him, but you know, he's wearing tefillin, so that must be a real badge of his honesty and his sincerity. So he went up to him and said, could you look after the money for me over Shabbos? He said, yeah, sure, no problem. After Shabbos, he came up to him and he said, can I now have my tefillin back? No, sorry, my money back. I must have drunk too much for my New Year party. So, he said, can I have my money back? He said, what money? He denied any knowledge of it. What do I do? He had a crisis. So he fell asleep that evening and he had a dream. And Eliyahu HaNavi appeared to him. And Eliyahu HaNavi said to him, go to his wife and tell her that you're aware of the fact that she and her husband ate chometz on Pesach, and they also ate on Leil Yom HaKippurim, and that way you'll get your money back. And he went to the wife and he said, I made a pikodon with your husband of some money, and I've got a sort of password to indicate that I know that that the money is mine, and that you know that money is mine because you ate chometz on Pesach and you ate on Yom Kippur. And embarrassed, she hurriedly got out the money and gave it to him. Of course, when the husband came home, he was pretty angry. It says he beat her and so on, and whatever happened after that, it wasn't pleasant, but he got his money back. So there is this idea of michsi kiyohorot. There is one opinion which we'll deal with perhaps later when it comes to the subject of women, and that's the Maram Shik, who feels that when you're wearing tefillin, when you don't have to wear tefillin, you may be regarded like a show-off. We once did a whole bagel breakfast share about showing off. It's an important idea, but we'll come to more of that later. So the Shulchan Aruch in chapter 37 says that it is a mitzvah all day long to wear tefillin. But because of the subject of guf noki, of keeping a body clean, and shelo yasiach data, not to distract mentally, better not to. Negu lo lahanichom. The custom is not to wear them all day long, but you wear them for shema, you wear them for davening, and you make sure that in that time your concentration is adequate and you're controlling yourself in such a way that you have guf noki and the right kavonos. That's the Shulchan Aruch. And in that short time, says the Levush, the Vizman Kotzek is there, a person is able to be careful that he will not pass wind and he will not distract with his concentration. The Gral, the Vilna Gaon, in his Maaser Rav, he says, yes, it's nice to wear it all day, even during your business. If you're like working in a shop and you're doing mundane activities, you can still wear your tefillin. And even if you're having a light snack, but not if you're having a proper meal. That's where we draw the distinction. The im choshesh liora, but if one is worried about the idea of showing off, then no, don't wear them. There is a question, maybe just the shel yad and not the shel rosh, or because the shel rosh is more conspicuous, the shel yad might be more hidden, but that is a general principle. And Rav Chaim Volozhin stresses, no devorim batalim at all. Yes?
Yeah, but if you're working in a shopkeeper, and if you're a shopkeeper, and you're going to be busy with money, you're not going to be able to concentrate on.
Right, very important, very good question. If you're working in a shop and you're handling money and you're busy counting money, well, maybe your calculator will do it all for you nowadays, but it seems from the way the Vilna Gaon speaks, if he says even during business, obviously during business it involves taking money, so according to him you can be handling money while you're wearing your tefillin, right? but it's important not to allow oneself to be distracted with secular thoughts which might be immoral or something like that. But otherwise, according to him, if you're handling money, and the Gedolim, they used to do mundane jobs because they could talk Torah while they're doing their jobs. Rabbi Yitzchok Nachal was a shoemaker, for example. So when they were busy hammering... A blacksmith. There was another one who did shoes. Yitzchok Sandler. Yeah. So doing mundane things, which Chazal tried to do when they went to work, was in order that they could talk Torah while they were working. Because, you know, the work is mundane, you can still talk Torah with others, so why shouldn't you be wearing your tefillin at the same time? Okay? It's all depending on the context and your frame of mind as to how you're behaving when you are actually working.
Now, maybe if you're wearing your tefillin, you'd be less likely to be dishonest in business.
Yes, you'll be reminded not to be dishonest. That one of the first questions one is asked when one goes up to Shemayim is, did you deal honestly in your business? The Talmud Das writes that if you do have a Hesach Hadas, if you do get distracted mentally when you wear tefillin, he says it's a Chilul Hashem, because you are desecrating Hashem's name because of the fact that you are like a walking Sefer Torah. So that's the idea of whether to wear tefillin or not all day, better not to, because of these problems which can come up. And it's like taking a risk, that as long as you're wearing tefillin, you're in a state of risk where you might have flatulence, or you might have hesach hadas, or immoral thoughts, and therefore better not to. In a way, it's a bit like you're carrying a bomb because you have to in your duties as a soldier, but if you can avoid doing so, you will avoid doing so. And it's that idea which we bring with us when we come to the subject of women. Not to suggest, chas v'shalom, that women are dangerous or women are bombshells, but the Gemara in Brachos, yes?
So just come on to you today. Why did Chazal not mechayev us to wear tefillin at mincha time? Short time, you've got to be concentrated on the tefillah anyway.
Good question. Why don't we wear tefillah at mincha time? I think there the answer is more about michsik yohara, because it's not the minhag ha'olam to do so.
And we don't say the Shema, do we?
We don't say the Shema, but it's not that you have to say the Shema, it's just that you have to say the Shema when you wear tefillin, otherwise you're called a false witness. Alright, there's a question about you want to catch those Kriya Shema and you're going to wear tefillin later, so you'll say Shema without your tefillin, no problem. But with mincha, it's true you're not saying the Shema, but you're indulging in tefillah, you're concentrating, so why shouldn't you wear tefillin? There's no halachic reason why you can't wear tefillin for mincha, but it's not the minhag ha'olam to do so. And we do minimize on the amount we wear tefillin, because we are worried about these dangerous pitfalls where it's better not to wear tefillin. There were times, I think around the 12th, 13th century, there were certain rabbonim who wrote about it, that there were people not wearing tefillin at all. Perhaps mistakenly, because they were worried that by wearing tefillin, they will slip and indulge in bad thoughts or flatulence, and therefore they avoided wearing tefillin completely.
Why don't we shorten it? I know this sounds very controversial, but why don't we shorten the
shuttle
so people don't have such thoughts?
Well, I think we made it as short as we possibly can.
I'm sorry. 45 minutes on a normal day is not short.
Well, if you propose at the annual general meeting...
What I'm trying to say is, if one follows that argument to its limit, then you want to try and avoid all these thoughts. The idea is, the only way you can do it is to concentrate, and you'll only concentrate for a short time. Then perhaps davening should only be for a short period of time, or you should only wear your tefillin for a certain part of davening, you take it off for the rest, and you don't...
It's a delicate balance. If we shorten the davening, we'll accuse of following the reform. What we've got is the advice from the Prima Godim and others, and I'll read out the Aruch HaShulchan in a minute, is that we are creating a delicate balance. We don't want to abuse the tefillah by making it shorter. We want to keep it at its length. We're assuming that in that half an hour, 40 minutes, you'll be able to control your mind. If you reasonably think that you are unable to, then don't wear the tefillin. Or just put them on for your Shema.
Totally off on a tangent, but 2 days ago on Rosh Chodesh, I suddenly thought we'd all taken out tefillin off the Musaf. Why don't we just keep them on?
It's interesting you say that. We feel as though it's respect to the Rosh Chodesh, or when it's Yom Tov on Chol HaMoed, we'll discuss Chol HaMoed.
We're wearing Wednesday's Chorbonos, doesn't it, I suppose?
Maybe. I think I mentioned that Tefillin Chol HaMoed, the Maharil talks about moving aside your Tefillin Shayad in order to take the Hoshana. So obviously he was wearing his Tefillin right through Musaf. Because he was Ashkenazi, so he was doing Hoshanas at the end of Musaf. But we'll deal with that if we can another time. I'd like to deal with the subject of women. It's a bit controversial, and I might say some things which might upset one or two people, but I'm only going to quote my sources, and that way I can't go wrong. Gemara Brachas Daf Chof, Noshim Paturim Kriyas Shema Minat Tefillin. Women don't have to do Kriyas Shema, say the Shema, and they don't have to wear tefillin, mechayovim b'tefillah, but they have to daven, uve mezuzah, they have to have a mezuzah on the door, b'chas hamazon, they have to bench at the end of a meal. Gemara Kedushin, lamed gimel lamed beis, following on from the Mishnah, which talks about mitzvah saseh as mangaroma, which women are free from doing. Any mitzvah saseh, a positive commandment, which is tied up with time, women generally are potur. That doesn't apply to Shabbos, because Shabbos is an asay and a los asay. So women have to keep kiddush and other and three meals and other mitzvahs asay of Shabbos. But generally speaking, the Gemara asks, what are the mitzvahs asay shazman geroma? Sukkah. They don't have to sit in the sukkah. Lulav. They don't have to shake lulav. Shofar. They don't have to. Sitzis and tefillin. So tefillin comes within that group. Ah, but women do sit in the sukkah. If they want to, they can. And they can make the brocha with the Ashkenazim Paskin, that women can say the brocha, asher kiddushonu b'mitzvosov, because they accept it on themselves. Women don't have to, but they can keep sukkah. They do shake lulav. They've accepted upon themselves to hear the shofar. So these are mitzvahs which they keep. And even sitzis, where Moshe Feinstein says, if it's not a beggar dish, it's a beggar dish, it's got four corners. If it's not shown publicly, a woman can put on tzitzis. So what's the subject of tefillin? So, excuse me. So the Gemara in Kedushin in Lamed Hay does talk about an obligation. According to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, they are of the view that tefillin is not a mitzvah saseh zman geroma. Because they hold that Lila and Shabbos and Yom Tov are Zaman Tefillin. Even if you don't wear them, you get a mitzvah out of them. Therefore, there's no time aspect for Tefillin, because according to them, it can be worn at any time. According to them, women have to wear Tefillin. But we don't paskin like them, because it's a mitzvah saseh zman geroma, because Lila is love Zaman Tefillin, and Shabbos and Yom Tov, according to Rashi, the emphasis is more about Shabbos and Yom Tov, that we don't wear Tefillin, and therefore it's a mitzvah zman geroma. So it's Rabbi Hood and Rabbi Meir who think that it's an obligation, but we don't paskin like them, so they get out of the picture. So it's not for a woman to say, well, I'll go by Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Hood, because it's a machlokis from the Tanoim already, and we paskin that women do not have a mitzvah if they wear tefillin. So, following on from that, the Rashba writes in his Tshuvas, Chelek Aleph, Kuf Chof Gimel, he says, Mitzvah Seshas Mangaroma, women don't have to keep such mitzvahs, but in Rotsu La Sosa, if they want to keep it, and to make the bracha, he says they can. They can put on tefillin, and they can make the bracha. Shim Rotsu Oses Kol Mitzvahs. I say, because it happens with sukkim, it happens with lulav, and it happens with shofar, so why shouldn't they wear tefillin? And he quotes from the Gemara in Eruvin, Daf Tzadivov, it's also in Moed Kotesayin, Michal Bas Shaul, the daughter of Shaul, who was married, she was married to David HaMelech, she wore tefillin. Michal Bas Shaul, hoysa meneches tefillin, velo michu ba chachomim. They didn't tell her off. That's the Lashon used. Yeah. They didn't tell her off. All right, we can come to that. And Rashi says, after having katosefes adivrei Torah, even though it looks like you're adding on to the Torah, because you're doing something you don't really have to do, there's a din of baltosis, nevertheless, shepotra noshim mitzvah seshah zman geroma, even though it looks like a tosefes mitzvah seshah zman geroma, they didn't say anything. She wore tefillin. There is a rumor that Rashi's daughters wear tefillin, but I tried researching it, and there seems to be no evidence or proof about the fact that Rashi's daughters wore tefillin. Okay, but we've got Michal Bas Shaul to talk about. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky who is present day, of course, doesn't say anything that it's osur to wear tefillin. What is? How did he explain Micha bas Shaul? He says shehoyesos zehirot afei. She was particularly careful. She was a very holy woman. She was somebody very special. She knew about the rules of guf noki and about shelo yaharher, and therefore, okay, we let it ride. And quite interestingly, the Or Sameach ala Rambam, Rav Meir Simchov Devinsk, who is relatively recent, he's 19th century, in Hilchos Talmud Torah on the Rambam, in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, he's got a long shtick, but towards the end of it, he says, Urashus biyodom lo neach tefillin. And women are allowed, they have the permission to wear tefillin. But because they don't have a chiyuv to wear it, so it's like something ornamental. And that's talking about the last parak of Eruvin, where the first Mishnah says that if you see tefillin in the street on Shabbos, you can put them on, even though you can't carry in the street, you can put them on two pairs at a time and walk indoors with them and wear them. So women can do the same. But we don't have a chiyuv for tefillin. And if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, who's a Rishon, in Mitzvah Tov Chaf Aluf, he says, yeah, okay, women can wear tefillin. So in the Haredi world, why do we deplore women from wearing tefillin so much? What's going on here? We've got brilliant sources. Hagos Maimonios in Tzitzis, Chelek Tzitzis, in part 3, part 9, he quotes Rav Shimshon of Kusi, who was one of the early Rabbonim. He said, since Micha Bas Shaul was not told off, therefore, it must be okay. And from the Baal HaTosfos, there was Rav Avigdor HaSefarati, who was in the 13th century from Vienna. He wrote the Sefer Perushim of Psokim al HaTorah, and he says that in his time there have been some pious women, devout, conscientious, religious women who were wearing tefillin. And Orchos Chaim writes in Orchos Tefillin, Chelek Gimel, Yod Dalet, he says, since the Gemara did not mention anything about Guf Noki and Shlo Yahare, he sides with the Rashba, who said it's okay. So Shulchan Aruch of Rav Cairo in Siman Lamed Ches, Sif Gimel, he simply writes, Noshim Paturos. Women don't have the chiyuv of wearing tefillin. But it's the Ramah who really, the Ramah represents the Ashkenazim, and it's the Ramah who comes along and says, Vimnoshim wrote some Nachmer, but if women want to be strict and wear tefillin, Mochin Beyodom, we do tell them off. As if to say, they should not do it. So where does the Ramah get this from? After all these sources we've been quoting, from the Rashba, from the Samach, from the Chinuch, Hagos Maimonios, Rav Avigdor, Sfadi, all these sources which say it's no problem, why is the Ramah saying, if women wear tefillin, we tell them off? He gets it from the Maharam in Rosenberg, otherwise known as the Maharam, and he writes in his Tshuvas Chelek Aleph Kuf Mem Beis, he says, it's true that Micha Bas Shaul was not rebuked, but that doesn't mean that they approved it. There are halachas about rebuke, that you don't always tell somebody off when they're doing something wrong, because it might not be Mefurish B'Torah, they might not listen to you. So we once had a shir about when to rebuke, when not to rebuke. So he says, so the mere fact that they did not rebuke is not enough. He says, they didn't approve it either. He says the most important thing to remember when you're wearing your tefillin is you've got to have a guf noki, and you mustn't think bad thoughts. And can we trust people? Now, that's not to talk down on women that are not able to keep a guf noki. Of course, women can have in mind to control flatulence and to control their thoughts. But he's saying, is it really worth that risk? He says, you know, you might have, there's a Gemara in fact in Sukkah, the Mem Beis, which says that a man should buy tefillin for his sons who are not yet bar mitzvah, for ketanim. But we don't paskin that way. We don't give tefillin to ketanim. They start wearing bar mitzvah, that way bar mitzvah, or just beforehand. Different minhagim, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Chassidim, on the day they start wearing tefillin, not earlier. Why not? Because we're strict about guf noki. We're strict about thoughts. It's a balancing act. We want to be strict. You know, it's very hard sometimes to control oneself if one is about to pass wind. One can control what food one eats. You know, don't eat the beans. Don't eat the chunant. You know what the similarity is between chunant and football. You both get the results on, not say, Shabbos. So one has to try and conduct oneself. You have to conduct yourself in such a way. Be careful. But if you can do something about it, fine. But if you can't do anything about it, we're in that state of risk. So it's not simply talking down on women to tell them not to wear tefillin. Says the Maharil, it's not simply that people can't control themselves. It's the distraction. It's the thought. And if there is a secular thought, then it's worse. It's worse not to. So for that reason, the Vilna Gaon said, Osur, women should not wear tefillin at all. And he says, although the Gemara refers to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, who promoted it, that's their opinion, which we don't go by. And they are the ones who didn't object to Michal Bat Shaul. They were the ones who felt that she was doing a mitzvah. But others don't hold like this. So the Prima Godin follows this and says that because of Gufnoki, we forbid unless there is an obligation. And because men have an obligation, we achieve that balance. So the Aruch HaShulchan spells out this in an important way. And he says, in Yerushalmi Brochus, they say anyone who's not like Elisha Balkanophine, remember in part one we spoke about Elisha who was wearing tefillin all day long and the Greeks tried to arrest him and the tefillin turned into a dove. If you can't think and concentrate like he did, Al Yaniach Tefillin, don't wear tefillin at all. Even men who are duty bound to hechruch to lay tefillin, they shouldn't wear it, even for Kriya Shema or Tefillah. Therefore, men should not wear tefillin for the whole day long. Why should people enter the chashash gadol kazeh? Why should people put themselves in such a risky situation where you're like carrying a nuclear bomb? And it's the same with women. Lefichoch ein menichen osam. And he talks about Michal Bas Shaul, Velo Michal Bachachamim. He says, Yodu Shehit Tzedeke Skumura. They knew that she was a very righteous woman. The Yodol is I, and she knew how to be careful. And the same is with Avodim Kananin. Eved Kanani has a din of a woman, and Eved Kanani doesn't wear tefillin. And so he carries on. Haminiach tefillin, Tzorich Lizai Mehirur, Tavas Isha. So I mustn't have any sexy thoughts for him. Ef shalom below him. No nichon. Don't wear this tefillin at all. And this follows on in a number of opinions. The Igros Moshe of Moshe Feinstein, he talks about the women's liberation movement, the feminism which comes out of it, and he implies that it's not a terrible thing if women wear tefillin. He doesn't say osur, but he's saying what is the agenda of the women who are putting them on. Are they seriously feeling closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a result of it? I asked my wife, actually, I said to her, would you feel closer to Hashem if you can't tefillin? She said, well, I'm so busy with all my other duties, and including chesed, which I have to do, that I just don't have the time, and I don't feel any closer to God than I feel now with the mitzvahs that I already have. So, that's her view. And the women who claim, and it's obviously in a subject like this, we have to mention the so-called women of the wall. If you go on their website and look at their directors, they all belong to the reform movement, or conservative movement, the Sorti movement. So these are movements which do not accept that the Torah is min hashamayim. So let's get our priorities right. Let's first start off by accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah is from Shemayim. That's number one. Next thing, do you know how to keep Shabbos? Do you know how to make a cup of tea on Shabbos? Do you know how to take the fly out of the soup on Shabbos? These are the basics. Women have to know these just like men. Kashrus, the women are the one who run the kitchen. Do they know what to do when a piece of chicken falls into a milky soup? Right? These are the priorities. Once we've got that sorted out, you know, do women know that they mustn't wear shatnas? Do they know about tzinius? About the way they're allowed to dress? We have fantastic women in our history. We don't have to worry about the feminist movement. We got Sora, Rivka, Rachel Valea. Sora had more Navua, more prophecy than Avraham Avinu had. And the others, we got Rus, Dvorah. I mean, B'schus Noshim Tzidkaniyos Nigolim Mitzrayim, the whole reason why we came out from Egypt was only because of the righteousness of the women. So the women don't have to have this complex. So Rabbi Eliezer Melamed, who is one of the, what you'd call one of the contemporary modern Orthodox Rabbonim, he writes about the subject of women wearing tefillin in his Panine Halacha, page 212. And he says, we follow the Ramah. We tell women off if they wear tefillin. They shouldn't wear it. But if a woman is very pious and sincere, and she dresses properly, and she keeps all the halachas, and she's got emunah, and she's got bitachon, and she is 100% sincere, and she's not trying just to make a political activist game at the kotel, he says, then we won't stop them. And if she's not having her period, because menstruation is a problem as far as gufnoki is concerned, and if she does it in private, then there's no yahara, there's no showing off, then he says, I will not stop her. But if a woman is not strict about the modesty of her dress and any of these other mitzvahs, he says, this is the feminist movement, it's not Lashem Shemaim, and then he will condemn it outright. So that is the interesting survey we have of all the different opinions. Certainly in the Haredi world, you won't see women wearing tefillin, but we've seen that there are sources which show women who are sincere in their devotion, whom they might rely upon if they genuinely keep all the mitzvahs, have their emunah, the Torah is min ha-shamayim. We cannot overstress. Yes,
is it a convenient question?
Yeah.
How could a married woman wear tefillin shel rosh and keep her hair covered?
Yeah. It's a chatzitza, you're right.
Yeah.
The hair we talked about was transplanted hair, which is not a chatzitza. A shaitel or a wig, and men some women wear wigs, is a chatzitza. So yeah, a woman wearing a shaitel, but if she's wearing it private anyway,
she's wearing a scarf,
and she's wearing a scarf, a tichel, but yeah, you struck on a problem there. I haven't seen it referred to though by those who are masir. Good question, but it's time, and I didn't want us to be too long today because we finished davening late. So I'm going to conclude. The importance of tefillin cannot be overstressed, and there's something I'd like to read from this Osameach, which we were referring to earlier. He says, he refers to the Midrash Socheh Tov, and he quotes Rabbi Eliezer. Omri Yisrael ifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Jewish people said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Rotzinonu Liga B'Torah Yom V'Laila. We really want to indulge in the Torah by day and by night. V'Gisa B'Yom V'Laila. We love the Torah. We accept the Torah. And we really want to indulge in it by day and by night. Avol Ein Lanu Panai. But you know, got to go to work, rear the kids. There are things which distract us. You keep the mitzvah of tefillin, and I will regard it as tantamount to you being osek b'Torah by day and by night. So there's a question about what about night, because light is not as a man of tefillin, because there's no mitzvah of tefillin, but tefillin is compared to Talmud Torah. And tefillin is compared to Talmud Torah, and Talmud Torah is by day and by night. So when you wear your tefillin, it's as if you are wearing, as if you are osek b'Torah all that day and all that night. A most amazing idea which comes out, brought by the Arsameach.
It's not clear whether Hashem is saying wear them just for davening or wear them more.
Well, then we come back to what the poskim say. Is a tefillin a mitzvah kol rega v'rega every second that you're wearing them? Or is it that when you put on your tefillin, it's that moment that you've done your mitzvah? So we've said you've done your mitzvah as soon as you put them on, but it's a mitzvah min ha-muvchar to keep them on longer. Balancing that with our nuclear bomb, as we said, you will get them off straight after the tefillah. But now you can understand why some who trust themselves, and they're Gadol Yisrael, as we know, who have been wearing their tefillin throughout the day, and they're trying to set an example or whatever, fine. But for us mere mortals, who have so many distractions in our daily lives, and who might not be able to control ourselves physically, best to whip them off after davening, and don't try to be a grosser frumma. Alti Tzadik Harbe said Shlomo HaMelech, plus the other ideas of Yohara, of showing off, because people don't generally wear their tefillin in the office, so if you do, you're looking like a show off. On the subject of women, there is another opinion about Beged Ish, but not everyone goes along with that, because if it is a mitzvah, then it wouldn't be Beged Ish. But the overall then picture of women is they don't wear tefillin. It's not a reflection on any inferiority, chas v'shalom. Women are superior to men in the ways we've described. Next time we'll carry on with tefillin. We'll talk a bit about Rabbeinu Tam. We'll talk about tefillin on Chol HaMoed and sweep up any other loose ends. Thank you very much.
What about a tattoo?
We once discussed tattoos. It's offered to make a tattoo, but if a Baal Tshuva has a tattoo and he can't get rid of it, he may. And Holocaust survivors, one may put tefillin on over them. There are tshuvas about that. Yes. Rabbi Chananah ben Akash Roy Motzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezach Tzor Zir Amehim and Tzor Shinem Al Noicha Veitz Demanzit Gerodil Tzor Vyadir.